you're listening to Galway Talks with John Morley, if you want to get a comment into us, you can do it on our text and WhatsApp number, that's 086 38 33 553. You can phone reception on 091 77 0077 and email comments at galwaybayfm.ie. Some of your comments now, and this is from our interview with Minister McEntee. If there's a crime committed in the Annadown Corundulla area, huge parishes, the only station you can report to is Oranmore Garda Station. This is crazy, as it takes the guards so long to arrive to the scene from Oranmore. We need a station closer to us. Another listener says, please ask Minister McEntee how she plans to send back people once they are not allowed to stay in this country. Apparently, they leave the court and disappear. On to a later conversation we had this morning. John, no way should dogs be allowed in restaurants or workplaces. It is not hygienic. I will leave a hotel or a restaurant if a dog appears. Farmers' hearts are broken with dogs running loose. It's a big no from me. Another request. Could you wish my mom, Carmel King Loch Gray, a very happy birthday? Love from her husband, Paddy, and all her children and grandchildren. Another caller says to us, morning, John, brilliant weather. You should live in Roscommon. You can't get planning. And if you want to sell a site in Roscommon, you can only sell to a Roscommon native. That comes in from Paula. Another caller says, hi, I live in the Clifton area. I've 5 grown-up children. Not one of them can afford to buy a house here. I've a big enough site to accommodate up to a further 2 small houses. And I'm located in a rural lane. The house or houses would not break the skyline, nor would they be visible to anyone other than myself. Yet to apply for planning with the associated costs for this, potentially not just once, but several times, prevents them even attempting to apply. Why can't the council allow the first application to be free with subsequent applications charged at a realistic cost and stand by pre-approved plans of houses they consider suitable? Thanks to the Chamber of Commerce for conducting the survey. Best wishes from Maura. And final one this hour. I'm a young teacher in Clifton. I was born here and have lived here all my life. My husband works in a government job in the community. We were refused planning twice on residential phase 2 land beside my family home, as it's not family lands. It is fundamentally wrong that young people like us cannot get planning permission in the community we serve and are committed to. Young people are the bloodline of rural Ireland. It is no wonder that there is a brain drain from this country and young professionals are emigrating to access cheaper and more accessible housing and better pay and working conditions. When you look at our situation, we are valuable contributing members of our community, and yet we cannot live here. And another one just coming into us, there was a car accident at Carraray. Anyone approaching from Tuam direction, please be careful. Now though, I want to go back to studio, because I'm joined in studio by John Crumlish, the Chief Executive of the Galway International Arts Festival, and on the line by Paul Fahey, the Artistic Director of the Galway International Arts Festival. You're both very welcome onto the programme today. John, I'll start with you first. It was a big day there. You had your launch there earlier this week.
Yes, John, we did indeed. It was a good day. The weather was good. We had a big crowd and we're very happy with the programme. It's probably our biggest programme to date. So we're pretty excited about it. And there's a couple of things in here that we've waited a very long time to get to Galway, but we're delighted that we're at this point.
What are the highlights for yourself, John?
Well, they're all kind of highlights. I know I'm supposed to say that, but they actually are. For instance, we're doing a new theatre piece by Marco Rowe that we have never done before ourselves, and Landmark are doing a big ensemble piece. Paul will talk about more about that. Duck Pond Circa, they've been before. They are a major kind of circus theatre from Australia doing their own version of Swan Lake called, appropriately, Duck Pond. Druid obviously doing Endgame, like, that'll just be fantastic. We're doing a show called Unspeakable Conversations. Again, Paul might speak more to that. In terms of music, really looking forward to Stuart Copeland. Kneecap, brilliant to see what these young men do. And then, giving away my age, a treat is going to be the Undertones in the Russian Do as well.
We are also joined by Paul Fahey, the Artistic Director. Paul, talk us through in more detail some of the big performances.
Well, good morning, and nice to chat to you for the first time since you took over the hot seat there. So we wish you the very, very best of luck. And no doubt we'll be chatting to you a lot over the future weeks and years, hopefully. So, as John said, we had a terrific launch on Tuesday. Absolutely packed capacity, and we had a great response to the programme, so we're really kind of really, really thrilled with that. And it's what's kind of at the heart of the programme every year. You know, we always have a big theatre co-production or production, and then there's a world premiere, and John referenced Marco Rowe's new play. Now, Mark, I'm sure a lot of your listeners will know Marco Rowe from his previous work, but it's our first time actually to produce with him. We've had a couple of his plays just that have been through Druid or others before. But this show, Reunion, it's a big, big piece, which you don't tend to get a huge amount of plays that are written for like 10 characters these days because of the economics mainly. So it's based on a family. There's a matriarch in the family, who's Cathy Belton, who's a great Galway actress. And they gather on an island off the west coast of Ireland to mark the occasion of, it happens to be the passing of their father, which isn't a big thing in the story, but it's what brings them all together. And it's so brilliantly written. It's full of humour. It's full of all the kind of things that kind of sort of family dynamics, you know, when people meet up at Christmas time or whatever, and they haven't seen each other for a while. Like biting humour, like really, really terrific dialogue, races along through Act One, and then in Act Two things start to unravel as kind of, you know, unspoken angst and all that kind of stuff starts to emerge and come out. So it's a terrific play. Mark is directing it himself. And we have a brilliant, brilliant cast. Robbie Sheehan, who I'm sure loads of people will know from various different TV shows, just opened in Whitsnail and I in London to great reviews, or in Birmingham, rather, a couple of days ago. Venetia Bowe, Stephen Brennan, there's a real who's who. So thrilled with that. And then John also referenced two other shows that I'll talk about. One, Duck Pond, which is from Circa, from Australia. And they're going to be in the Festival Theatre in the Kingfisher, which is the space we introduced last year. And that's it's a massive hall. Give people kind of an idea of the scale. People, I'm sure, will be very, very familiar with the black box, which is 25 metres by 25 metres. This is 35 metres by 55 metres. That's huge, a big 12-metre clearance in the space. And Duck Pond is a very humorous, acrobatic, very family-friendly, just jaw-dropping acrobatic show from Circa, and it's their take on Swan Lake, but done with like huge humour and irreverence. And like when you see some of the photographs that are on the website and all that from the show, like it's amazing to see what these people can actually do with their bodies. So that's going to be in the Festival Theatre, which is a fantastic 1200 theatre that we've introduced last year, and we're rebuilding this year. And that's running from Friday the 19th through to Wednesday the 24th of July. And then the other show, which a lot of people were chatting about, and has two very high-profile actors, is Unspeakable Conversations. And this is another festival co-production, this time with Once-Off Productions. The first time we've worked with that company. A great bunch of people there. And this play is by Christine O'Reilly, also based in Galway. But the play stars two disabled actors, Liz Carr and Matt Fraser. Now, Liz Carr, I'm sure, will be known to a lot of people from Silent Witness, which she's probably best known for on TV. But she also had a documentary that aired on BBC One on Tuesday night called Better Off Dead. And she's exploring which is also what the play deals with. She's exploring assisted suicide. And the play in this, the topic of the play in this is about a conversation that took place between two real life people, Peter Singer, who was a philosopher and an animal rights campaigner in America, and Harriet McBride Johnson, who was an attorney and a disability rights activist. And he argued that people who have disabled children should have the right to for assisted euthanasia or whatever when they're younger. And Harriet argued against him. And he famously brought her to Princeton University, one of the kind of most esteemed universities in America, to have a discussion about it. And it became kind of like the Frost-Nixon debate, almost. In the New York Times did huge coverage on it or whatever. And despite having very, very opposing viewpoints, the two strangely enough became friends and had a dialogue all their lives. And so Christian has written this incredible piece working with Liz and Matt that examines that conversation, and it's like, while it deals with very serious subject matter, it's done so with such, you know, brilliance. Like, Christian's a terrific writer, and it too is also full of humor. Matt Fraser often works as a stand-up comedian. He's really hilarious guy, but he was the first disabled actor, famously, to play Richard III, who was the disabled king, Shakespeare's famous king, in 2017, and that kind of shot him to fame. So we're thrilled to be working with the two of them, and Christian and Maura O'Keefe, and that great creative team. So they're just three of the theatre productions to touch on. John referenced the Heineken Big Top, which is always, you know, the fantastic night out, and we're so looking forward to the likes of the Stuart Copelands and the Jess Glynn banging out all those number one hits, and Annie Mack, who's just, you know, our great DJ who has a huge career in Britain through the BBC initially, but all over kind of all the big clubs and festivals all over, not just Britain, but all over the world. And then in the visual arts, we're welcoming back, I can't believe it's nearly 10 years, 2015 was the last time we worked with Patricia Piccinini, who is one of Australia's leading artists. She's done everything from representing Australia at the Venice Biennale, which is the big visual arts gathering all over the world every couple of years. But Patricia, she has these incredible kind of, they're lifelike, like a hybrid between a creature and a person, and they're very, very, very arresting. And she's making a new installation specifically for the Festival Gallery in the On Post site, just beside Matt O'Flaherty's on William Street there. Which is vast and is going to be sensational, and she's creating that especially for Galway. And then we've some other works. There's a beautiful shot in the festival brochure of a work called The Couple, which again is a kind of a hybrid between creature and human. You see these incredibly extended kind of claw-like nails on their hands and their feet, and there's a peculiarity about them, but that's something that draw you in hugely. And that's going to be that's another beautiful piece that we set in an installation in the big pillar room, as we call it, the back room of that gallery. So and then we've just a fantastic lineup of other visual artists, from Yvonne McGuinness to Bernadette Kiley to Karen Cox down at the City Museum, working with Interface and Elena Robbins out in Connemara, beautiful show by Breen Burke up in the University, working with 126 and all the galleries around town. So just terrific, and a very diverse kind of a lineup.
And perhaps I'm biased as a current affairs presenter, but the First Thought Talk series, that sounds very thought-provoking.
That is terrific. Again, we have an incredible lineup. We work with Katrina Crowe, John and I, who Katrina Crowe was our former head of the National Archives, and she's a historian and broadcaster, well known from around Galway, from working with us over the last number of years, but also a well-known voice on radio and TV at kind of, you know, key moments of discussion for state and all that. But we have an incredible program. Marion McKeown will fly in after the Republican convention in America, when presumably wow. Donald Trump will be rubber stamped, and prior to the U.S. election, and she's going to be in discussion with Fintan O'Toole, who's our great journalist and author, on Saturday, the 20th of July at 6 p.m. That's a hot ticket, no doubt. And then just touching on a few of the other ones, we're thrilled to have Colm Tobin, who will be in discussion talking about the creative process of being a writer, and it'll be centred around his new book, which is a follow on from Brooklyn, the reviews which all came out a few days ago, including Oprah Winfrey naming it as the book of the summer to read. And that was one of the hot tickets yesterday when we went on sale. And he's going to be in conversation with Elaine Feeney, herself a great novelist in her own right, who's also based in Galway. And then we've interesting panel discussions. We've got Whither Are United Ireland, which is going to look at what would a united Ireland look like, and I'm sure that people have very different perceptions of what it might like, what that might be like. And Pat Leahy and John Gary and Malachy O'Doherty are in discussion with Trevor McDonald on that. And then we have a few other terrific people like Marina Carr, and is again, she discussed the kind of creative process of being a playwright, and she's here in town during the festival because of the world premiere of her new play with Decadent, The Map of Argentina. Similarly, we've got Andrew O'Hagan discussing his new book Caledonian Road, and also his creative process and how he approaches work. Then we have everything from discussions on climate change to public broadcasting to nuclear disaster, to the importance of human rights law with the incredible Blini Negrola. So there's a really incredible set of minds coming to the festival over both of those weekends for a wide-ranging discussion and topics of play.
Yeah, back to you, John. It's hard to believe we're heading into the 47th year of the festival, and a lot of the mainstays like the Festival Garden are all returning as well.
Yeah, we have our Festival Garden returning to Ayr Square. We have our Festival Club. We're doing things like Vinyl Hours, which is a very interesting idea where Tiernan Henry, they're all free. They just interviews different people in the festival about their seven favourite songs and why they're favourite songs. He's going to interview Gavin James, Mickey Bradley from the Undertones, among others. So we have, and then we have our free programme as well, like our Street Spectacle programme, which will we're doing a piece in Ayr Square, Le Petit Bras, big traditional acrobatic show. And then we have Planet Valour, a French company who made the the Dragon that was such a success last year, they will be going down the street this year. So there's a good mixture of free stuff in there and stuff returning. We also have Silent Disco as well, going down the street as well, which always, he looks fabulous. So I'd advise people to book their tickets early for that. That's already going. So we've a lot of stuff that returns but is new at the same time.
I know you're also asking people to become a friend of the festival this year.
Yeah, well it's there every year. Like we wouldn't be able to do the festival without the support of funders like the Arts Council, Fáilte, and Galway City Council of the European Union. We have a load of sponsors then, from the university to Heineken to the Front Door. Like, a lot of local businesses get behind us. But at a lower level, our friends are hugely important to us, in the sense that they're a vital part of the sport that makes it possible. Like, a lot of the stuff, we're about almost 30% of what we do is free of charge, so we need that support to help us get over the line. And a lot of people in Galway are very good to us.
All right, John Crumlish, the Chief Executive of the Galway International Arts Festival, and Paul Fahey, the Artistic Director, thank you both for joining us on Galway Talks. More information on giaf.ie. Now, though, I want to move on, because I've, in terms of our election coverage, we're thrilled to announce that the local election debates hosted by Keith Finning will take place next week from 6 to 8, and this is a great chance for local election candidates to engage in lively discussions and share their views with the community on our evening programme. We will kindly ask all candidates to register using the form which is located on our website. All fields are mandatory for successful registration. Additionally, each candidate should submit notes or questions they want to discuss during the debate. Please limit your submissions to 500 words. For GDPR compliance and to protect your information, we have created a custom registration form to keep your data secure. Don't miss out on the chance to engage with your community and share your vision. Register now and be part of our local election debates on Galway Bay FM, starting from next Monday at 6 o'clock in the evening. I want to also announce our winner of our golf competition, and the winner today and qualifier today going into the draw at the end of the week is Tom Loftus from Moylock. Congratulations to you, Tom. We're coming back and it's time for Ars to Protect next. Good morning. You're listening to Ars Protect. This week on the programme, I speak to Michael O'Boyle of Cycle Friendly Ireland and Justine Delaney of Genesis about the Galway Company's European Cycle Friendly Employer Gold Star Award. If you want to get a comment to the programme, you can do our text and WhatsApp line at 086-383-553, phone reception on 091-77-0077, and email arsprotect@galwaybayfm.ie. If you want more information on this initiative by IBI and Commission Amman, go on to arsprotect.ie, where you can take the Ecological Footprint Calculator. All this and a lot more topics coming up on Ars Protect. Good morning, you're listening to Ars Protect with John Morley, and I'm delighted to say I'm joined on the phone line and in studio by Michael O'Boyle and Justine Delaney. Michael O'Boyle is a Cycle Friendly Employer Ireland and also European Cyclist Federation Cycle Friendly Employer Certification Steering Committee member, and Justine Delaney is a Facilities Coordination and Sustainability Ambassador with Genesis here in Galway. You're both very welcome onto the programme today. Michael, I'll start with you first. Good morning. And talk to me about this incentive that ye have there for promoting cycling across businesses in the city here in Galway and across Ireland.
Yeah, good morning, John. The Cycle Friendly Employer is a European initiative. It's been active for the last 5 years across Europe, 3 years in Ireland. And really, if I split it into one sentence, it's designed to work with employers to create the European standard for a cycle-friendly workplace. And I suppose over the last 3 years, we're actually going into our fourth year now. We've seen a number of employers from, you know, small employers of 15 to 20 people, right up to our largest employer would be University College Dublin with 30,000 on campus, and they all use the same framework, this European framework that is now in Ireland. And it's a six-step framework. It's designed to work with employers over a three-year period. And at the end of that journey, that they will have what we regard as the European standard for a cycle-friendly workplace.
So what standards do they need to achieve? I know it is scaled as well.
Yeah, so it's a points weighted system. There are six categories, and they range from obviously cycling related facilities, but they also relate to how you communicate about cycle related activity across the workplace, to how you communicate that you're a cycle friendly workplace to people who visit your workplace. So there are six categories there. Each of the categories will have approximately 10 to 12 points weighted questions. They're all, I suppose the beauty about it is that they are points weighted, so the employer sees full transparency all the way through the process of the framework, so they can see what points they have and, more importantly, what points that they don't have. The idea really is to separate what actions they have already done to the actions that they haven't done, and therefore they can set and train which of those actions they can do over, let's say, a 3-month period, 6-month period, a 12-month, 18 months, and 36 months. So these are it's very much a step by step process, and I think, you know, when you talk to Justine, you'll see that, you know, the process is it's clear. It's there's logic in it, and there's actually a sort of route map to achieving the European standard for a cycle friendly workplace.
Okay, we're also joined in studio by Justine Delaney of Genesis. Justine, first of all, congratulations on the Gold Star Award for the European Cycle Friendly Employer. Why did you decide to get involved in this?
Well, I think the company. The company is sustainability is very much embedded in Genesis pillars of how we're doing business. It's one of the four pillars of us doing business, and one of our main goals is to be carbon neutral by 2030. Strategically, and in all things that we're doing in terms of reporting and gathering data and all that kind of stuff, we're very, very on track. We're very focused on that through each quarter of each year. But I think as well, kind of local and local initiatives where we can, you know, where our employees and our clients, our customers, and, you know, people we are partnering with in communities, that where they can get involved and we can be doing things together, I suppose having something like this initiative, which very much focuses on things like your facilities and communications and collaborating with other businesses, I suppose to demonstrate what a good news story this is, you know, facilitating our employees in particular to cycle if they'd like to and from work.
Mm. And what changes have you had to implement to achieve this?
Well, I suppose we're very lucky because we are in an amazing building down on the docks, Bonham Quay. It's a wonderful building. It's just kitted out to the highest standard. We're very, very lucky. So I think for us, the kind of facilities side of things, the all our, for example, we're very lucky. We have showers. We have we have covered car, bike parking. It's all secure. So we're very lucky in that respect. I suppose for us, the big things that we can work on in the next 3 years are around communications and engagement, and I suppose just getting out and about together, be it, you know, ourselves as tenants in Bonham Quay, or you know, with the rest of the community. And for example, you know, it's National Bike Week coming up, and we're all very excited about that. So it's about encouraging our team to take part in some of the lovely family-friendly activities. I suppose that's, for us, it's around those kinds of things that we're doing, engagement and that kind of stuff.
Because a big part of it would be changing people's behaviours and to incentivise them actually getting the bike out.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's lovely at the moment. It's turning into a lovely May and it's dry and, you know, the mornings are nice and bright and the evenings. So, yeah, we're very much hoping that people might consider walking and cycling where they can. And obviously, for example, in Genesis, we would offer so benefit in kinds such as the bike to work scheme and the public transport tax saver tickets. So all of those kinds of things and I suppose profiling people, you know, staff that are coming to work on bikes and stuff like that and celebrating it. Yeah.
You've got this Gold Star Award. Are you looking to continue improving or what areas are you tackling next?
Well, I think, honestly, I'd love to, it'd be just brilliant, I'm sure Michael would agree with me, just to grow a cluster in Galway and a cluster of businesses that would, you know, each have different kinds of cases where we can work together and learn from each other and also, you know, tie in with maybe other business development agencies, for example, the Galway Chamber, and also obviously the Galway City Council are doing fantastic work. The active travel teams and the environmental teams. So I suppose for us, it's very much, you know, again, spotlighting with the other businesses and growing that cluster and making Galway, you know, like I suppose a leader. For this particular initiative and, you know, again, all things active travel.
Mm. Because, Michael, this is all to do with reducing our emissions here and it's part of a wider European and governmental policy.
Yeah, Darren, it's really key that that you know employers get the opportunity to look at ways to reduce their emissions. And in one of the more difficult areas for, let's say, emission calculation is really in scope 3 because they're divided in scope 1, 2 and 3 and how employees commute to the workplace sits in scope 3. So it is important that employers have an opportunity to work on in that area to assist employees to commute to the workplace, be it by bicycle or by walking or jogging. But the one thing with the cycle-friendly employer certification, it also sits in the Irish government's national sustainable mobility policy. So it sits in there as an action. So not only is it a European initiative, but it's an Irish government's policy as well. So it is important. And what we are finding, I think when I started off the initiative in Ireland as the lead, I found a lot of employers, their first reaction was, God, we never knew that there was a European standard for a cycle-friendly workplace. And then the second reaction is really, yeah, perfect. This is what we need. You know, if we're going to do an initiative like this to get employees to commute to the workplace by bicycle, then we do need assistance. We don't need to do a solo run on it. If there is a European initiative in there that's tried and tested, well, let's use it. And employers are used to working through frameworks, whether it's through their own standards or, you know, financial regulation. And we're just the same. The framework we have is simple, it's transparent, it's easy to navigate. And then the other beauty about it is we work with employers to give them direction and also to assist in sort of future-proofing where, you know, that workplace will look like in, as Justine said, you know, how to reach carbon neutral in 2030. What's going to be the journey there and what's that workplace going to look like?
If people want to get involved and find out more information, where's the best place of doing that?
Yeah, it's all online. It's cycle friendly employer Ireland. They can go online there. They can see the evaluation. They can see the format. They can see the process, and then they can email us, and we can take from there.
Brilliant. Well, Michael O'Boyle of Cycle Friendly Employer Ireland, and also Justine Delaney of Genesis. Thank you both for joining us on Ours to Protect. That's all from this week's edition of Ours to Protect. Join us next Thursday at 11:30 for more environmental programming.
Ours to Protect, brought to you by Galway Bay FM, the IBI, and funded by Commission na Mban with the television licence fee. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more info.
You're listening to Galway Talks from the Woodfield Hotel in Clifton. I'm joined now by the PRO of Galway Cultus, Marie Walsh. Marie, good morning. It's all roads lead to Claregalway this weekend.
It is indeed, John. Thanks for having us on. Big weekend ahead in Claregalway. FLAC, Ceol na Gaillimhe 2024 takes place this weekend in Claregalway. It's hosted by the local branch there, LACA CCE. And full programme of events starting off on Friday night at 7:30 with the official opening ceremony, which is in Claregalway Castle. And then Friday night, again, there's a youth session in the Summerfield Bar. And I suppose the main aspect of the FLAC Ceol is competitions. So it's the first round, should we say, of music, song and dance competitions and Cóir Gaeilge, and those that get first or second and some thirds get through to the regional FLA, the Connacht FLA, and then can progress again to the All-Ireland FLA. So it's the first point and start if you want to, I suppose, become an All-Ireland champion. So a very busy weekend of competitions all throughout the weekend is planned in Cloche, the Balia Clore.
It kicks off in earnest on Friday evening, as you mentioned. Our very own Maureen Fahey and Yvonne Fahey are there. You've Patsy Broderick and Emer Cotton all opening at 7:30 on Friday evening. But it's a big programme of events from there.
It is indeed, yeah. We start early on Saturday morning. We have under 10, under 12 and under 15 competitions taking place in a fabulous venue there, Cloche, the Balia Clore. It's a fine school, a great gym where the Group of Ceol and Ceilidh Band competitions will be. And then on Saturday evening, there is a FLA Mass at 7:30 in LACA Church.
Okay, on to Sunday then. There's another FLA Mass at 9:00 in the morning in Claregalway Church, and then more competitions.
Yeah, again, Sunday, a very busy day starting at 10:00. So Sunday sees the 15 to 18 and the senior competitions taking place in music, song, dance, Seanos dancing, set dancing, Cóir Gaeilge, and then finishing up at 4:00 after the competitions are coming to a finish. There'll be a Sláán an Bhaile junior session in the school at 4:00, and everyone is most welcome to join in on that. And I suppose throughout the whole weekend, John, there'll be loads of music, and there'll be trad music sessions throughout the weekend in all the local pubs.
You've plenty of people participating from this neck of the woods, and you've some of them here. Just tell us who's with us here in the Woodfield.
Yeah, so we've an ice entry in from the Clifton branch here, which I'm involved in. And just when you happen to be in the Woodfield today in Clifton, we said we'd have to play a few tunes for you. So they were very sad to leave school this morning to be here.
I bet they were.
So on my right, we have James Canavan on accordion, and we have to give a shout out to his brother Connor, who was supposed to be with us, but he's not feeling the best this morning. And then over on my left, I have Aaron O'Neill on concertina and Mabel Stanley on fiddle.
Brilliant. And what are you going to play for us?
Sure, we'll do a hornpipe called the Harp and Shamrock into a great reel called St. Patrick's Night.
In your own time.
Thanks very much, John.
Well done. Well done, Marie. It's absolutely brilliant, that music there. And are you going for gold this weekend, or do you imagine a bit of gold be coming back to Clifton?
Oh, sure. We go for the participating and the fun and the crack, and that's what I always say to them. We've had our wins down through the years, but that's definitely what our brand ethos is, that to go and have a good time and make friends and play lots of music and enjoy it.
Brilliant. Well, best of luck to all involved. We wish you all the best in Clare Galway this weekend. That's pretty much it from this programme from this morning. My thanks to the Connemara Chamber for their assistance and for the great analysis of that survey that they've conducted and the great work they've put into it. If you want to see the full survey details yourself, go on to connemarachamber.ie/news to get all the details there. And my thanks to Donal O'Sullivan, who helped set up this morning and made sure we were all looked after here in the Woodfield Hotel. My thanks to the Woodfield for hosting us as well, and also to Darren Kelly and Doc back at base, who helped produce and engineer the programme this morning as well. Coming up tomorrow, it's time for Community Matters. We're out the far side of the county. We're in Port Tumna tomorrow. We're talking to a whole host of local characters. We have Jim Hines and Mirna Good for the start of the programme. We also have two good friends, and they're a lot of crack as well. I believe they were at the World Cup in Japan a few years ago. We'll hear that story. Paul Dillon and Dick Ridge join us. We're also looking at history in Port Tumna with Dolores O'Shea of the Workhouse and Faye Mulvaney of the Port Tumna Castle and Grounds. The two McEntines, Jean and Eugene, senior and junior, they join us to talk about the butcher trade in Port Tumna, but also about their memories. I think Jean has some great memories of the Shannon freezing over and Morris Miners and everything going on to the ice there. So all that and a whole host more topics coming up on Community Matters, live from the Port Tumna Workhouse tomorrow morning here on Galway Bay FM. Good morning. Up next is Ronan Lardner with the Live Wire. Stay safe and have a very good afternoon. Good morning.
Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Find hundreds of used cars to suit your budget in Windsor Motor Mall Galway, located on the Monavay Road.